Witness history at Roland Garros, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off to see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if a fresh face rises to challenge them. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
TC Live is with you on a Sunday evening in Rome, where yesterday's cancellations turned into today's embarrassment of riches. The courts saturated with star power, just as they were saturated with water yesterday, including both world numbers one on court today, who are both also the defending champs in Rome. Coming up on our show, another complicated workday for Novak Djokovic. The six-time Rome champion got pushed by a guy he normally dominates. What does it all mean for Paris? Paris has meant awfully good things for Iga Swiatek. Two Roland Garros titles in the last 3 years, and the way she's played this week, seems like she wants a third. And a Mother's Day message from this mom-to-be, including thoughts on when she'll be back and why you shouldn't ask her about it. That and much more on the way as we welcome you to the Sunday edition of Tennis Channel Live. Couple of Hall of Famers here. Jim Courier is hydrating. Andy Roddick is ready at the home office. One of these days, we're going to do it like they do on SNL, where we're going to bring our moms on the set and wish them Happy Mother's Day in person. In lieu of that, Jim, you want to offer some wishes?
I've already said Happy Mother's Day to my wife, Susanna, but also to my mom, Linda, who's in Tampa. Got the flowers out early, so I got some props yesterday, but hope she's having a great day back east.
And a brunch was had for Mother's Day in North Carolina, Andy?
We had some brunch. We had a bunch of artwork done by 5 and 7 year olds that we had to pretend like it's the greatest thing we've ever seen in our lives, Habes. It was all dialed this morning. Mama feels very special. All good.
All right. And I wish happy birthday. Happy Mother's Day to Kim at home, and happy birthday to whoever's celebrating a birthday.
That's right.
Today.
Somebody's
my mom,
birthday.
Barbara's in Valencia.
Well, you
Let's get into the highlights, you mother lovers. Novak Djokovic in a third rounder against Grigor Dimitrov, a guy he has won 10 out of 11 against, Andy. But today got a little complicated.
Yeah, it did. Listen, I still like what I'm seeing from Novak. He's going to find his spaces again. Repeat. Does the same thing, builds during this clay court season. It's his least favorite service, which means he's only been one of the top three players in the service for the last 15 years. But finding his pacing against Grigor, again, making some errors, but I like the way building points is going to get sharper on the serve, is going to get sharper on the return, is going to get better. Like, that's a return in 2 weeks that he puts back in play 80% of the time, and he knows it. You can see that he wasn't real pleased with it. But Grigor was having to come up with some amazing shots to turn this thing in the second set. And if you're Novak, you're thinking, okay, can this guy do this for three sets? And the answer ended up being no, but what shot making from Grigor to turn this match, and credit to him for forcing this to the third set. But it was all Novak in the third set. Started finding his pacing, mixing up his return positions, as we see there, blocking first serve returns. Just made it a long day at the office. And listen, he set precedent why we're apologizing for him winning 6-1 in the third. I thought it was a good win.
So Dimitrov still hasn't beaten him in over a decade now. This is Novak's section of the draw. He gets clay court Cam Norrie next. That's a rematch of last year's Wimbledon semifinal, where Norrie took the first set off of Djokovic. Obviously, very different conditions here, but something to bear in mind. Possible matchup with Holger Rune after that. Here is Novak with Prakash after today's three-setter. Yeah.
Was it almost good to be challenged to three sets?
It is. I mean, from now sitting here with you, yes, but obviously I didn't feel that great losing that second set. I was 4-2 up, and it was just the momentum shift. I think 4-3 in the second, I was serving new balls, made a double fault, played some quite, you know, defensive points, and allowed him to really step in. And, you know, I dropped my focus a little bit, and, you know, he won 4 games in a row, and we went to the third set. But luckily for me, already in the first game, I broke his serve. And ever since then, you know, I kept the solid play. You know, mentally, I was present and kind of closed out the match in a good fashion.
apparently Novak borrowed Prakash's lighting director. Here's the number one American, Taylor Fritz, playing the German qualifier, Yannick Hanfmann, former USC star. And Jim, this did not go Taylor's way.
But it was going his way early. 3-1 lead for Taylor Fritz. The conditions seemingly good, right? Warmer today, drier. That should be good for the big hitting American. Hanfmann has power and he has some verve at the net as well. And he would turn this thing around and Fritz would lose his way. Here's Hanfmann serving for the first set, 5-4, 40-30. He's just on the front foot, and Taylor Fritz is many things, but defensive skills are not his strength. He needs to be on the front foot, and Hanfmann just prevented him from doing that. He had him going side to side, north, south. He was in control, not only in the scoreboard, but within these points. This is a surprising result. Yannick Hanfmann is a good tennis player, but Taylor Fritz has been good on everything this season for the most part. And listen, he just got routed in this one. Did not see it coming. Americans were really struggling.
Just one ace for Taylor today. Not a good serving day. Served as 45% for the match. Now to Francis Tiafoe, who got his match started yesterday. And Jim, he was down a set when he had to come back and resume it today.
That's right. These are some highlights from yesterday. Loses the first set. And this was right before rain halted play. Tiafoe saved two break points in this 3-all game. So he actually didn't want to stop playing because he had some momentum, and he complained mightily about it. But he would come back again in these different conditions today, and he would get the different result from the opening set he was seeking. Tiafoe on set point here, hits the drop shot. I believe that was his third or fourth set point. It was a tricky game, and Altmaier was furious. And then from there, Foe would get a quick start. That forehand return finds its mark, so he gets an early break of serve, and he would ride it all the way home. Match point at 5-3 serving. Big crowd watching this one. Tiafoe gets his job done and puts a win for the Stars and Stripes on the board. There have not been that many in this tournament.
Yeah, both guys had 11 break points in the match. Francis saved 9 of his. Altmaier saved just 8, and that one late break in the third was the difference. Andy, to come back the next day down a set, not a lot of runway left to turn things around, that seems like another exhibit in the body of evidence that suggests that Francis is one of the most dogged competitors and one of the toughest outs out there these days.
He's become one, Brett, and it's been a lesson on how to become professional throughout your career. And I credit Wayne Ferreira for really instilling that kind of day in and day out mentality with Francis. And listen, Jim touched on it in the highlight, but digging himself out of that game at 3-all, saving those break points, it's a lot easier to go to sleep at night on serve, having feel like you got away with something than being down a set and a break. And also, he should apologize to that umpire because that umpire did him a solid getting him out of those soggy conditions with someone that takes those big flowing swings and can create pace off of a mud ball. Francis needs a little work on it. Forehand likes the warmer conditions. It gets up and away. The backhand can get through the court a little bit more. So I like the conditions way better for Francis today. So I know he didn't want to leave the court. We admire that. We respect that. He should have been off that court.
He's a very good clay court player. He's made 3 clay court finals in his career. But when it comes to Roland Garros, he has stumbled just 1-7 career as a seed this year and a pretty high seed. We expect that to change.
We do think that'll change. I mean, there's no fitness concerns with Tiafoe. We're not worried about him running out of gas over best of 5 sets at Roland Garros. And look, I think that, you know, Francis is finding himself in so many ways. And he's got a great team with him. He has his girlfriend with him as well. There's a lot of stability around Francis right now. And that's, you know, the thing that you need when you're in places like Paris. Sometimes American players have had the tendency of wanting to get to the grass court season. There may be one on this show that might have thought about that at some point in his French Open career. I wanted to stay away from the grass. Yeah. But a lot of Americans, yes, Andy Roddick, like to get to the grass sooner. I think Tiafoe is going to be happy to be in Paris. I know he's happy in Rome.
All right, he gets the 21-year-old Italian Lorenzo Musetti next. That'll be a challenge both from a tennis standpoint and the crowd, who normally likes Francis wherever he goes. Let's show you the women's number one, Iga Swiatek, served up a double bagel in her first match against Pavlyuchenkova. And Andy, she was nearly as stingy today against Serenko.
Well, I think that's unfair. We start off when Serenko's up 2-0. We don't even show the games that she won in this highlight, Brett. That's just cold. But listen, Iga, she rolls through this one. We'll save to the ending. But the way that she's able to step in on this backhand return and just take control of return games right away, distribute to the corners, no one's able to get set against her. They're all either moving or they're defending pace that's coming at them you know, hard and fast, and there's no real out, right? I mean, this forehand creates spin. It's a different trajectory on both sides. Her footwork is as good as anyone on either tour. Those small steps when she has time on the dead ball is as good as anyone I've ever seen. We'll see her right there, but just rolling. She lost four games so far through three matches. You lose four games in a set, you're still a winner.
Those were her 30th and 31st sets of the year where she's given up two games or fewer. Think about that for a second. 13 straight wins at Rome because she is the two-time defending champion. The double bagel on Pavs. How about 113 points to 63 in 2 hours and 20 minutes on court? That is what we call efficient. And that brings us to the last match that was held over from the rainout yesterday, world number five. Coco Gauff could not solve the riddle, Jim, that is Marie Boskova.
No, I mean, and she got off to a pretty good start, did Coco as well. She was attacking. The forehand was working for her. She would be able to get that first set away. But in the second set, it just started to slip for her. Boskova is tough, right? She doesn't miss much. She's a good mover on the clay. She could defend. She could come up and rip that forehand. That was strong, too, to get the early break. And she would be able to get another break here deep in the set, 5-2. Great defense. And Coco, I think, was feeling uncomfortable in these baseline exchanges more and more as the match went on. And that meant she tried to get to the net more and more. And Boskova had the answers. That is a beautiful passing shot. Untouchable. And she was able to ride that strong combination to match point. And Coco, again, just not quite certain on the midcourt shot. A tough loss for her going into Roland Garros, where she played so well last year.
That's right. Third career top five win for Boskova. Coco still hasn't won back-to-back matches since Indian Wells now. Here's that section of the draw, which is blown open quite a bit because Coco is gone, Pegula is gone, Garcia is gone in the same half, Lynette is gone in the same half, Sabalenka is gone in the same half. Yeah. A lot of opportunity.
The 11th seed is the highest seed remaining, and that's Kudermetova, who has been going well. Madison Keys, fortunate today because she got a withdrawal from Vika Azarenka, who has, I guess, a leg injury.
Hems. Yeah, that's right.
So we'll see. Maddie, we know, can play well on the clay, too, especially if the conditions stay a bit warmer. We'll see how it goes.
Just a question on Coco Gauff, Andy, here. And there are a lot of questions, especially given the fact that she's ranked five in the world. So these are our first-class problems to have. But she's got some issues with the forehand. She doesn't have a stable coaching situation right now beyond her dad. She's got a lot at risk, as Jim mentioned, with the Roland Garros final to defend coming up. If you were on Team Coco, Gauff, not O'Brien, what would you advise right now?
Well, one, I would tell her to stop listening to dummies like us who tend to have a negative lean because we base it against what we know she will be at some point in her career, right? We're basing it against her immense potential and what she's already accomplished, frankly, with being a Grand Slam finalist. So I'd say don't worry about anyone on TV. But obviously, listen, the game plan is out there with her right now. So she's going to have to, you know, people have problem solved for her. And now the next couple of months are going to be, how do I fix that? How do I reprogram the forehand and or come up with patterns that can keep traffic flow through the backhand side? And what I don't like seeing is you've seen the last couple of weeks with Coco. It's the first time I've actually seen her get dejected. You see her walking off that court and she looks upset, mad. Now that can serve her well if it's kind of into the right silo of motivation. But you hope you know, that she doesn't get too down on herself because she has a long career ahead of her. Listen, plenty of time to get things back on track.
So Patrick Mouratoglou was notably in her coach's box sitting next to her dad today. And, you know, he's been in Holger Rune's box. Obviously, he's, you know, still involved with Simona Halep if she ever gets back to tour. But Mouratoglou, I remember chatting with him a couple of years ago in Australia about Coco, and he was talking about how he had worked on fixing her second serve by just adjusting her ball toss and that the forehand was going to be the next project in that. And then he really hasn't been that involved that we've seen anyway at tournaments. So maybe now he's stepping back into the fray with Diego Moyano departing after Miami. Potentially Patrick is going to put some focus here. We'll see. You know, I like Andy's idea of trying to find patterns of play to get more balls into the backhand corner. Maybe that's a Band-Aid solution for now, but certainly yeah. There needs to be a final solution to course correct the forehand weakness.
Do bear in mind, she didn't have a great clay court season leading up to Roland Garros last year. Didn't make a single quarterfinal. Still made the final in Paris, so there is still cause for optimism if you're a Coco fan. And who isn't? More to come on our show today. We will show you a battle of former Roland Garros champions on the women's side. Plus, the Prince of Clay himself. Who else could that be but Daniil Medvedev? Out to dispel the notion of the hard court specialist. He does it more and more every day. Back in a moment.
Witness history at Roland Garros, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off to see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if a fresh face rises to challenge them. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
I would watch Tennis Channel all the time. Get to watch all my favorite players, especially the American guys. And it was just really special for me to get to watch some of these guys and now play against them. I think it's awesome, especially getting the insight from players that have been through it all and then getting to see what they're up to now. I think it's really interesting just to kind of see a post-tennis and even during careers of players that are also, you know, doing stuff for Tennis Channel. It's cool to see. Tennis Channel, happy 20th anniversary.
Jeffrey Wolf for that birthday wish, and he's got a big opportunity here. Took out Hubert Hurkacz yesterday, now gets a matchup against Sasha Zverev, who had some gas taken out of the tank today.
Yeah, that's a winnable match, I think. I mean, I like the way JJ moves on the clay as much as anything. I don't know about you, Andy, but he looked pretty comfortable out there to me. What are your thoughts, big fella?
Yeah, I mean, I was looking for the same things that you were looking for, having not seen him play much on clay. Is a fluent mover on clay. Doesn't feel like he falls over, doesn't do that little check step that a lot of us who don't know how to move on the clay do after we slide. But also, this matchup against Zverev is one that he's going to be excited about. You know, Sasha is giving people time, especially if he peppers the forehand. He's going to get some balls that have some loop, maybe go short in the court where he can kind of impose himself and get forward like he likes to do. And he can hold serve. So if you click off some holds, you're going to get some opportunity knock-in situations. So I don't hate this matchup for JJ at all.
Only had 3 career clay court wins coming into this week, on the verge of getting his 3rd this week. And if things go sideways, he could always hit Zverev with a tranquilizer dart. That is always an option.
For a dart in your neck, man.
A dart in your neck, man.
Oh, old school. Old school reference.
Time for a FanDuel Chanda pick of the day as he quickly pivots to another topic. Little stumble for Chanda as she drops to 1-2 on the week. She had Taylor Fritz over Altmaier. So tomorrow she is picking Veronika Kudermetova at -162 to beat Marie Boskova. Kuders is a 59% favorite to win that match. She and Boskova have split their 4 meetings to date. Quick reminder that right now, FanDuel is giving all new users 10 times your first bet in bonus bets, up to $200, win or lose. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app now and start making every moment more. Still more to come on the program. Racket carnage is a fact of life in this often vexing sport. But did you know where the shrapnel ends up? We'll show you next. Back on TC Live, one of the biggest surprise Grand Slam champions of the past few decades was Yelena Ostapenko when she won Roland Garros 2017, ranked 47 in the world. Will we have a surprise champion this year? The tournament starts 2 weeks from today, and Tennis Channel is proud once again to have exclusive daily live coverage of Roland Garros. Don't miss any of the action beginning Sunday, May 28th, 5 a.m. Eastern on Tennis Channel. Speaking of Yelena Ostapenko, she was on court today in a battle between a pair of Roland Garros champions. Penko won it in 2017. Barbara Krejcikova won it in 2021. You may remember she saved match point in that semifinal against Sakkari. Well, a pretty dramatic first set today. Krejcikova led 5-1, only to see Ostapenko storm back. She won 28-9 from 1-5 down and then baked a bagel in the second. So Ostapenko picks up her 3rd top 20 win of the year. Now has a chance to make her first quarter since January. Change. Back to the men. Looking forward to this one, weren't we, Andy? Fognini with the home crowd taking on the young honey badger, Holger Rune.
Yeah, Fabio had the crowd in his pocket here, but unfortunately he had Rune across the net. The two things in this highlight, you see the ball striking up the line that he just missed, and then the ability to argue. Beautiful. Vintage arguing.
So
you know you love it. And listen to this crowd and how desperate they are for momentum when he misses this overhead. Ortega in his kitchen. Fabio smiling, giving him a little smirk. That guy's pumped. Just in case it wasn't painful enough the first time. And the crowd gets on its feet. And that girl is super pumped as well. I think she has a piece of paper as a hat. And Fabio goes full vintage Fabio. No effort down match point. Lets it slide by. Heck of a tournament. Runa moving on.
Just 14 unforced from Runa, able to break four times. That brings us to the three seed, Daniil Medvedev. Jim did not look like a hard court specialist today.
Well, he was struggling early doors, though. Down 3-1 to Rusevori, who pushed Alcaraz in Madrid a couple of weeks ago. But that would be as good as it got for Rusevori. Medvedev able to get back on serve. And at break point at 4-all, Medvedev up on the baseline, putting some spin on the forehand. Rusevori not able to handle it. When you got that many U's, you don't worry about too much. You just roll on to the next set, right? Medvedev's like, I got a bunch of E's. Here I come. We're off the rails.
We're going to buy a vowel here.
Medvedev was very much in control here once he got from that 3-1 deficit. Looked awfully good out there. Look, if he's serving well, you know he's going to make a bunch of returns, Medvedev, and he's starting to move a little bit better on the surface. Played well at Roland Garros last year. He had a miserable clay court season last year until he got to Paris, and he loved the tennis balls at Roland Garros. He's already playing better. I think he's putting himself into contention for a second-week run in Paris. Again, we'll see what he's got, but boy, that was a vowel-heavy match.
Just remember, you can't spell ooey-ooey-ooey without Medvedev and Rusevori. Here's the scoreboard of other matches. Vondrousova, remember, she's a former Roland Garros finalist, knocks out the 9 seed today in Maria Sakkari. Badosa continues to be red hot. She takes out Kostyuk, and Casper Ruud didn't need a third set breaker, but he gets by Sasha Bublik. Speaking of whom, as we start our social net on this Sunday, it is Sunday, so Sasha Bublik had to break a racket. He does that on every day that ends with Y. But just remember, one man's shrapnel is another man's bedroom decor. Where does all the shrapnel wind up? Well, in this guy's bedroom, Andy. Who knew that your anger could wind up being beautiful?
Well, what I'm amazed by is, like, I've seen where one person takes a cracked racket, but this is very intentional to have that many crack rackets. I guess it saves on art, Brett.
Maybe it is art, Jim. It's modern art.
Do we know whose room this is? Like, can we answer that question? Is this someone that we know, Andy? Or is it like one of the Italian fans that follows the tour?
It's a guy on Instagram that goes by the tag Tennis Legend. That may be a slight overstatement, but that's his name.
Well, he's got access, I'll tell you that.
All right, but, you know.
I tell you what, broken rackets, the bed's a little messy. When you're going to shoot video, make the bed.
What kind of video are you talking about? Let's pivot and move on again. I'm uncomfortable in my workplace. Happy Mother's Day to everyone, including Naomi Osaka, who is a soon-to-be mom. She posted on Twitter today letting her fans know that she is not going to come back this year. She's not going to play in 2023, going to focus on family and on health. And she also had some rather pointed words for her critics online saying, don't worry about my career so much. Maybe think about the male players who are less accomplished than me, who have become parents, who may need your attention, Jim, more than I do.
Well, she certainly doesn't need anyone's sympathy. She's living her best life. She's already done so much. First ballot Hall of Famer. She's got all the endorsements. Hopefully she's going to have a healthy child and have a great second half of her career when she comes back. We wish her nothing but the best, but yeah, I mean, there are lots of people that we should be sending thoughts to apart from Naomi. She's got a pretty great life.
Yeah, I would say that if you're going to criticize Naomi's body of work and her accomplishments as a tennis player, you better be really, really, really good at whatever it is you do.
And you're probably not as good as she is at tennis, and so we wish Naomi a happy rest of the year off.
And happy Mother's Day.
And happy early.
That's right.
Happy Mother's Day to soon-to-be mother? Sure.
I think so.
Yes.
Okay.
No.
Tennis Channel coverage begins tomorrow. Once again, 5 a.m. Eastern from Rome. Bally's picks up a separate slate of matches at 8. Another edition of TC Live at 5 p.m. Eastern. Jimmy, want to sing it?
There's just a little Lionel coming for you for the encore coverage. He'll be there all night long.
Oh,
Hot shot of the day comes from the match that you saw just prior to TC Live, Sinner and Shevchenko. They were all over the court.
Yeah, this was a barn burner of a contest. If you haven't seen Shevchenko play, here is a good sample of his abilities all over the court. Doesn't quite stick this backhand overhead, but Sinner able to stick that overhead into the stands.
Got there in the
end. Got there to 4-2. This was awesome. I loved this match. I've just really enjoyed Sinner's matches this season for the most part, especially that Alcaraz contest in Miami was spectacular, and he plays a lot of points like this, and it was Shevchenko who brought it today.
All right, let's show you the feature matches for tomorrow in Rome. Madison Keys got that walkover today from Azarenka, so she has Kalinina tomorrow. Alcaraz against the qualifier from Hungary, Marozan. And Tsitsipas will be battling the Italian crowd as he takes on Lorenzo Sonego. Danny and Prakash have a preview.
All right, Brett, back at our FanDuel desk. Be a third meeting between Stefano Tsitsipas and Lorenzo Sonego, but this one's in Italy. So how do you think it's going to go?
Well, you're right. 2-0 for Steph right now. They haven't played for a couple of years. I think Steph's just playing a little better tennis than Sonego at the moment. And Steph sat at our desk and said, listen, I know he's Italian. He's going to have a lot of crowd behind him, but I'd like to think I have a little fan support also. So I think the crowd's going to get a great show. I just think Steph has a little bit too much weight of shot for Sonego, especially on this surface where Steph feels so comfortable. Last year's finalist, I think the Greek's going to get through.
So going with the top five player here, P, big prediction. But look, we're going to have a great show here on Monday from 408 Italico. All the matches are going to be great.
Yes, they are, and we'll have that. Prakash wanted to get one more word in, but he was not allowed.
They're getting chirpy over there, huh?
That's fun. Let's do a couple match previews for tomorrow. We'll start with Carlos Alcaraz against that Hungarian qualifier we mentioned, Fabian Marozan. He's never won a tour-level match until this week, so Alcaraz, Andy, is going to be a massive favorite. Then again, if you're in the third round of a Masters 1000, you're obviously playing pretty well.
You're playing well. I think he's going to have to look to add to his tour win total next week if he's playing somewhere, because I like the Chuckster going away in this one. I just don't see how someone without just so super obvious weapons that can cause him discomfort in some sort of way, shape, or is going to take him out right now. He's just he's got a hot hand right now and kind of seems like he'll have it for the next decade or so.
Chuckster for you?
Oh, yeah. Going, Chuck. I'm just actually marveling at Andy's hair. We so rarely get to see it. He's got a hat on. Of course, we know Chuck is the favorite there, but how about an upset? No logos on Roddick today. Kind of amazing.
No. Well, no, it's just a little low. It's there. But, anyways. But yeah, no, I'm feeling the flow with the hair today.
I don't have any
good hair days left, but I feel pretty good. I feel good about the product.
Let us move on to one final match preview tomorrow. That's Andre Rublev against Alejandro Davidovich-Fokino. These two guys are good on all surfaces. Jim, whom do you have with the edge on the
court? This is like 51-49 Rublev for me. I've been impressed with Fokina. Is his play in recent weeks. Obviously, Rublev has been playing sensational tennis also, but I don't know. Something just tells me that this one could go down to the wire.
All right, 2-0 lead in the head-to-head for Rublev. One meeting on hard, one meeting on clay. Before we go, Andy, you have a parting shot, I'm told?
Yeah, I was just thinking as we were watching talking about J.J. Wolf, it's like he went to Supercuts and asked for the reverse Ricky Vaughn from Major League. There's no chance that J.J. Wolf got that haircut in Europe. There's no chance. They wouldn't do it.
You could take his mullet, glue it on to Charlie Sheen, and it would be an inverse.
Yep.
I see what you're doing.
It's the reverse Ricky.
Yep. All right. And still no lawn dart in his neck.
And by the way, yeah. I'm a huge Cincinnati Reds fan.
You know Jim likes that.
Yeah. Well, Charlie Sheen as well.
That's
giant.
You. Charlie Sheen, J.J.
Yes.
Wolf, and Jim Correct. Cryer, all
that's right.
Cincinnati Red fans. That's going to do it for the baseball portion of our show and for TC Live on this Sunday. Happy Mother's Day again to everybody out there. We'll see you again bright and early, 5 a.m. Eastern, for day 7 of Cincinnati. You could have used that paper as a hat.